This station has interrupted its regular program at the request of the United States government to participate in the emergency broadcast system.
For the next 60 seconds, by direction of the President of the United States, we'll conduct a test of the emergency action notification system.
Happy birthday to one of our very special listeners. He will know who he is.
Happy birthday, special listener. I'm about to surprise you, fell into my death trap, right into my clutches. Stupid, you know the goal, must bless every single mic he touches. I've suffered just so I can return harder. Wanna be the shit starter, fuck around, make you a martyr. I'll make you famous, turn around and make you nameless. Cause you never understood how vital to me this rap game is. Hi, Char.
Hi, Grease.
Where is the previous episode?
Currently in post-production.
So, we talked about the international break, the expectations heading into the derby, the draw, and I didn't even want to do that one. And you were like, no, let's do it, trust me, it's awesome. And I was like, fine. And then we didn't even release it. I guess we will. For, you know, sadists who want to listen to us retrospectively. Something. Another episode of Happens Podcast. My name is Graves, as usual, joined by Char. No guests this time. How do you feel, Char, about the win in the derby?
The derby is always better when Roma wins because the banter level just climbs to insane levels, and really easy karma farming on Reddit if you go post anything about Nazio bad. So,
Did you see their former captain Radu
with the SS Lazio tag on his sleeve? Yeah.
Has there been a statement since? Because it's Monday now.
I don't think there's been a statement. I think. Who was it?
That he didn't know what it meant, or he was just handed the hoodie and he put it on?
No, I think that picture got posted by an official Italian football account.
Yeah.
So either that intern just got promoted or they lost their job.
I mean, probably lost their job because Lazio don't really get fined for anything they do despite being Nazis. And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like you don't want to say that the club is Nazi, but where there's smoke, there's fire, you know? Like, they haven't really done a lot to dispute those claims. Like, they have sent their fans to Auschwitz. And which, you know, really weird. They have, like, done some things to try to counter it, but kind of give up on it. And yeah, I don't know, man. If you're Nazi, you kind of support Lazio. Like, it's kind of a normal thing, so people know that, and it's very widespread, well, common knowledge.
Where there's smoke, there's fire with the Nazi connection, because wasn't it last month when they were playing Bayern, and they went to the beer hall where Adolf Hitler founded the Nazi party and sang fascist songs and gave the salute?
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Just whatever. It's not like Roma is clean, by the way. Like, a lot of Roman population in general and fans of Roma are right-wing and, you know, kind of fascist a little bit, but like, it is so different than just being openly Nazi. That's just, in nowadays, it's kind of weird. I don't know, political landscape is really strange, and there is not enough information. There is a lot of misinformation and fake news being flung around, so you can't blame people for getting swindled too much, I guess. Like, you can obviously just discriminate and be like, nah, you're a moron because you believe that your country is, or your nation is better than other nation. But ultimately, it boils down to much deeper levels. But like, neo-Nazi and just being Nazi is just, it's black and white. There is no explaining it. I'm sorry. And yeah, ultra-right-wing is kind of fun been connected to Lazio, whatever, man. I don't mind normal Lazio fans, but like, why are you a Lazio fan, dude? What goes to your head that says I'm gonna be a fan of this team? The majority of the fans are just not normal. I don't know.
Well, picking a Serie A team in general is a hipster pick, and picking anything other than Juventus is a real hipster pick. So now you just have all the edgelords who...
Yeah, but like, if you're in the know about why Juventus is bad, and you just go with Inter because you're like, Inter is clean, right? And then you say, no, Roma is the cleanest. And they're like, well, Mussolini founded Roma. Well, it's not like Roma fans carry Mussolini's picture in their fucking wallets and going around being like, "Da, we must be fascist forever." No, we didn't have a choice in who made Roma a big club in Italy, and it lasted for like what, 4 years anyway. So, like, yeah, sure, everybody has a stain. This was 80 fucking years ago. Ever since then, Roma's been pretty fucking clean. Like, when is the last time you've heard of Roma bribing Serie A refs to let them win a Scudetto or fucking... Like, sure, the president of the club bought referees' watches. You know what it's like compared to what Milan and Inter Juventus were doing in the 90s? Like, Jesus. How did it come to this? Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, because it's the shittier half of the derby.
Yeah, derby's always like fun just because there's a lot of stuff going on and I don't like most of it. I feel like the banter is just so juvenile and stupid. It's like I like beating Lazio, which doesn't happen many times lately, but like, do you have to sound like you're two provincial clubs having an unimportant rivalry with other teams in Italy, go like, "Aw, look at they're cute." It's like two babies fighting. I don't know. There's like bigger things to worry about.
Not according to the FIGC, who is investigating Gianluca Mancini for his flag waving skills.
Yeah. You know, throw a bottle from the stands that hits a player in the head, 5,000 euros. Wave around a flag that mocks Lazio. Oh, how fucking dare you. And speaking of rats, one just came to visit me. Thank you, Vincent. Am I doxing my own kid? Can you be doxing someone who's 19 months old?
I don't know.
What do you think about that? Do you think that should be investigated, or...
A 19-month-old? No.
I mean, he has committed some heinous crimes against my sense of smell. And ears. Well, sense of hearing.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's like... it's just a mock fucking flag. What are you investigating about that? Like, is that a rat? Is a rat offensive enough? Like, in Italian, sure, but like... Is that an offensive thing? What exactly can you get convicted of? Inciting violence? Like, as if there wasn't enough violence already between Roma and Lazio throughout the years? Not to mention the... How many people was it? 300 Roma and Lazio fans that went for a friendly meetup to exchange their information and experiences of playing against Feyenoord this season? That Roma and Lazio have had. Before the derby. And I don't know. I read that one Roma fan got arrested in that meetup. Must have been a very, very friendly meetup. But yeah, whatever, man. It's a fucking flaw.
They were arrested for providing false contact information.
Yeah.
Well, I like how Mancini gets investigated for waving a flag, but Matteo Guendouzi actually hits Leandro Paredes post-match, and the referee does nothing about it. And everybody on social media is calling for Guendouzi to be suspended or something, and the FIGC says, nah, it's okay. So is Guendouzi wrapping his hands around Dybala's neck.
Nah, it's okay. You know, it's just a knack. He didn't hurt him. There is no long-term consequences, you know?
Well, I like how he tried to choke Dybala, but it was France who choked in the World Cup.
It wasn't France. It was Randall Kolo Muani.
Ah. That sounds French to me.
It's the guy who missed the chance. That was unreal, though. Like, Mbappe was doing everything he could to keep France in it. And France was just like, oh, thanks, brother. You're just going to fucking throw everything else away. Allez le bleu. But yeah. How many goals did he score into the game? I forgot. Was it 3 or 5 or something like that?
Who? Mbappe? 3. I think he scored a hat trick.
He scored a hat trick and then he scored 2 penalties as well, right? Or something like that. He did score a penalty in the shootout. And I just can't remember if it was 1 or 2. But yeah, he scored at least 4 goals. But yeah. Fun times, man. Fun times. I don't like the whole... Like, when you read the headline of Dybala took out his shin guard to show to Guendouzi, and you're like, haha, that must have been funny. And it was just Dybala trying to, like, shove it in his face. It just doesn't look as good as it sounds at first. But yeah, baller. Like, if I was Dybala, I would just, like, be waving that around and just, like, find a camera and be, like, pointing at the camera and just, like, look at this. Look what I have.
Well, I watched the whole thing... There's a replay, and he didn't really shove it in his face, but he was more matter-of-fact and calm about it, and Guendouzi just absolutely gets triggered.
Yeah.
Get owned, libtards. But, yeah, it was pretty funny to watch, because...
Why are you quoting people we play against in Rocket League?
Because it's, because I think it fits this time, because you have... Oh. Guendouzi just absolutely coming unhinged when Dybala does that. So yeah, it was pretty funny to watch. Though there was another clip I saw about a fan in the stands. He was sitting near the Lazio section and some Lazio fans were chirping him, and he's just giving them the talk to the hand sign while he's focused paying attention forward, and the Lazio fans just can't leave him alone, and he just keeps giving them hand gestures, and it's absolutely freaking hilarious.
Those hand gestures can be misinterpreted as Heil Hitler, you know, because Roma fans.
Oh, it wasn't a Heil Hitler. It was definitely.
I'm just kidding.
It was definitely way better, but basically didn't give the time of day, and the Lazio fans just absolutely went unhinged on him. So
nah, I'm just shocked that Roma is not being investigated for that one fan being too rude. But yeah, did you see the news that Lazio fans attacked disabled Roma fans?
No, I did not see that.
Why did the baby take offense to that so hard? Are you planning on being paralyzed one day? No, maybe. You already are disabled. No, you're not. You're just a baby. Just because you cannot put your head above your leg.
As long as he doesn't lick windows, he's fine.
yeah. Vista or Windows XP? Cool. So, is there anything else you want to mention that's, you know, outside of the game? Any events or happenings? Except Ratio flag.
I can't think of anything.
Rat. I can't make that sound like rat and Lazio at the same time. You have to spell it R-A-T-Z-I-O.
Ratio.
Rats. I think that's what I'm going to call them from now on. I don't know, man. It's just so petty. It's just so dumb, but it gives us all joy. People are very, very happy that Roma finally beat Lazio and that we finally beat one of the better teams. And that... We won in a derby.
Well, define better teams, because I was told that Lazio aren't very good and a certain previous coach would have beat them because this iteration of Lazio is incredibly weak.
Can we stop with that? I'm so tired of giving a flying fuck about Jose Mourinho fans and what they say about that. I don't care. Like, this, why are we still paying attention to Lazio, to Jose fans? And Jose comes to coach Lazio. Oh, no. Dude, seriously, if coach Lazio just stopped watching football for a long time, it'd be unbearable. Roma didn't beat Salernitana, but Lazio did. Obviously, Lazio is better than Roma. Anyway, yeah, so better team as in, like, normally in top, I don't know, 8 at this point. Like, for, pretty sure Fiorentina falls into this better team as well, better team group. But yeah, no, Lazio haven't really been that good this season, especially because they didn't replace their best player, Sergej Milinkovic-Savic. Although they do have Luis Alberto, who, I have to say, I respect him. I respect him a great deal because he's such a classy player, and I'm sad that he plays for Lazio and his career has been just Lazio and nothing else. Without Luis Alberto, I feel like Lazio are just a thug team that have absolutely no football semblance, and they're just blah, just whatever, staying on football. But Luis Alberto gives them actual legitimacy, and I don't know, dude, I respect the guy. I'm pretty sure there is going to be some Roma fans going like, what are you talking about, that dude did this to us, or just gesticulated that, or said this into me. I don't care. Like, I, when you look at him on the pitch and when you see how he plays, classy dude. Player at least.
Going back to your previous statement, Lazio before the derby was 7th, so they're in the top 10.
Roma is firmly 5th.
Firmly 5th. We mentioned that on the unreleased episode.
On the unreleased episode. It will get released soon. No, I mean, it was released already. It was we talked about this before, but in the future.
But after the derby, Lazio fell to 8th. Yeah. Roma is firmly 5th. Only 3 points off Bologna. Bologna finally dropped points.
Wait, isn't it 2 points now?
This says 3.
Cool.
So, yeah, we have 3. Yeah, it's 3 points according to several sources. I that guess.
I thought it was 2, but it may have been before the game. Yeah, I mean, it was before the game because they got 1 point. Yeah, never mind. So that's awesome. That's nice. I didn't expect that. Who did they lose the points to? Salernitana or something?
Who, us or them?
Them, Bologna.
I believe that was Frosinone.
Yeah, it was Frosinone. And Cagliari beat... Who did they play against? Fiorentina, was it?
Okay, so what we needed was... where did it go?
Sorry, I have all of my devices stolen because somebody's on my PC and the baby took the phone and ran away, so...
Roma beat Lazio, which we needed. Frosinone tied with Bologna. Cagliari beat Atalanta.
Cagliari beat Atalanta, yeah. That's,
yes, that's... and then Juve beat Fiorentina, so that was not a thing that we needed to happen to go our way.
Yeah.
So
we are fighting with one of Juventus and Bologna for 4th. We're just yet to see who exactly it is that it's gonna fall, but yeah, people are saying that they don't want Bologna in the Champions League because it's gonna be the worst team ever or something. Like, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I genuinely think there is a chance that Mata just stays at Bologna, because if they get the Champions League money, they have no debt, they have no, like, they'll be able to secure, like, maybe more money from marketing. They might be able to secure just more money for transfers. And maybe Mota's lap of coach just says, I don't really care about reinforcements. I can make great players with anything. Just, like, give us whatever and I'll teach them how to play. Maybe he's like, give me anything, I'll put them in my system and they're going to be good. Like, I don't know. Maybe he just wants to make sure that they are paid, and when once they do improve, that they don't leave, so the money is for salaries. Thank you, Vincent.
Somebody's having an existential crisis in the background.
He is extremely happy, and he expresses his happiness by screeching. Yeah, I don't know. Like, we haven't heard anything from Wata so far. Thank you, Vincent. Why are you being so loud? Why can't I talk on my podcast? Go away. He's not really going away. There has been news that Mota has agreed in principle with Juventus, which is really not expected because Allegri is supposedly staying next season as well. So probably fake news, but I don't know. I'm just saying there's always a chance that he stays at Bologna. There's also always a chance he moves to a better, bigger team. He might make Bologna into one of the powerhouses of Italian football, just like Atalanta became, just like Sassuolo was for a long time. So yeah, what do you make of people who want to see Sassuolo relegated?
What do I make of people who want to see Sassuolo relegated?
Yes.
There's better shit to do than want to see Sassuolo relegated.
Yeah, that's actually kind of my reaction as well. It's like, of all the things you care about, that? Sassuolo? Really? Like, they came from fucking nothing, have their own modern stadium that they built, have their own sponsor, that, like, the owner of the factory is just sponsoring his own team. What's wrong with that? They are developing Roma players, they've done decent, they've launched some careers, they've also produced some fantastic coaches, or moderately successful coaches. What's wrong with Sassuolo? And then a lot of people are just like, I want to see Sassuolo gone. Fuck this team. Apparently they're plastics because they're a new club or something. I don't know.
I saw a video. I forget if it was Sassuolo or Sampdoria. I think it was Sampdoria, about how they used to be a pretty dominant powerhouse in Serie A and then have absolutely fallen off the face of the earth in the last 3 to 5 years.
Sampdoria, because yeah. In the 90s, I think they won a title in 95? 94? Fuck, I don't know. They won a title, I'm pretty sure, in the 90s. And wait, if I'm not mistaken, they won the title under the coach who coached Roma when he put Totti on for the first time, which was March 28th.
I think we've discussed this topic before, because wasn't that coach Serbian?
Yes, and he was my grandfather's friend growing up. Like,
yes, we've
house to house. I think
we discussed this.
The guy who won the title in Serie A with Bologna. Oh, sorry, with Sampdoria. And then a couple of years later, Sampdoria offered Roma money for Francesco Totti. The president supposedly accepted that because Roma was struggling financially, and then Totti said, no, I'm Roman, I refuse to leave anywhere, I won't sign a contract with them. And the president basically said, thank you for that, I had to do what I had to do for business, but I'm glad that you're refusing. And then later there was another there was another offer from Real Madrid for Francesco Totti when they were assembling the Galacticos. And 2004 or 2005, I can't remember. And the president called Totti and said, I have to accept for your business, but it's up to you if you're going to stay or leave. And Totti said, I want to stay. But yeah, so this might also be all made up. Like, I don't know. We don't really know what happened. I just heard this multiple times from people who know this shit. I was like 7 years old in 1999. Thank you, right. Vincent.
You want me to butcher your name or no?
No. Okay. So, wait, what? The coach's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, try.
All right. Let's see. Voyadin Boshkov.
That is much closer than most people would be able to pronounce. It's pretty nice. Pretty close to being 100% undetectable. So, Voyadin Boshkov. So yeah, Sampdoria used to be a really, really strong team. I'm kind of hoping that they make it back, because not because Ferreira is insane and a Roma fan, but just Sampdoria is kind of, you know, a very important team. Plus, their jerseys have always been great. Like, if they get promoted to Serie A, I'm just gonna buy a jersey from them. Just, you know, why not? And I always liked them. They also gave us Patrick Schick. Most famous for playing defense against Barcelona in that game. And we won 3-0.
To me, Patrick Schick is the biggest what-if factor since I started religiously watching Roma, because he's done absolutely incredible things with Leverkusen. And never losing. And he had that absolute screamer of a goal against Scotland. Was that the Euros? Just insane half midfield shot. And I'm over here. Why did we let him go again?
And everybody, he wasn't ready. He basically said that he was still a baby and he didn't understand the world. He didn't like even learn the language properly, and he was too young to understand how the world works or what's needed of him. He was immature. He didn't understand things. Basically, one of those like classic European white boy who grew up at 25 instead of 18, like athletes have to. Which I get. I grew up at 29 and I wasn't even an athlete. So, yeah. He took his time, and he basically just, you know, he said himself that Roma was entirely his fault, and that there was nobody in the world who could have reached him except for life itself and being, you know, going from one place to another. But he matured at Leverkusen, and now he's a fantastic player for them. I like Leverkusen despite having to play them a bunch of times in the past few years. Like, I feel like if we play Leverkusen one more time, it's at the point of, like, them being on the level with Feyenoord for us, where like we just face them every other year in Europe. But yeah, I don't know. I just want to see Sampdoria back in Serie A. And I'm not sure instead of who, because I like all the teams, like even Frosinone.
If I had to pick one to go down, probably I'd want to see Verona down.
Why does everybody hate Verona?
Shitty stadium, shitty fans.
They've already lost one team. We used to have two teams from Verona, and now I just like, fuck Verona in particular. Is it just because of... Wait, isn't Shakespeare in...
Yes, fair Verona. Fucking sick and tired of Shakespeare.
Yeah. I think Romeo and Juliet is Verona, so whatever.
Yeah.
I've been there, it's pretty nice. Kind of small, unexpectedly small. And I've been to Florence, and fuck Florence, it's the most overrated city in the world. Anyway, what did I want to talk about?
Are we actually going to talk about the derby, or are we going to talk about everything about other than the derby?
Here is my take on the derby.
Wow.
Oh, and I'm sorry, but Zeki Cholik is not better than Karsdorp. That was a horrendous performance.
Well, let's take a deep dive into that. How do I want to do this? Do I want to stats it, or do I want to actually stats it? Because Zeki Cholik was a 6.9. He Who Shall Not Be Named was a 6.8. Svilar was a 6.8. And Lukaku was a 6.8.
What does Sviller do wrong?
I don't know. Let's take a look. Goals per saves 1. Goals prevented 0.05.
Well, he obviously should have prevented more goals.
Accurate passes 68% passing with 28 out of 41.
Wait,
18. Sviller? Svilar, accurate passes, 28 accurate passes out of 41 for a 68% rate. 18 long balls, 5 were accurate.
Oh, no, yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense because, Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I got so angry. Second reason was Dybala had to pick up the ball and run to our box. Paulo Dybala had to drop from right wing or second striker, I'm not sure what he was playing actually, to pick up the, because he didn't play there. He had to pick up the ball in front of our box because that utter fucking moron refused to, I keep scaring my baby every single time I mention Cristante because he looks at me and goes, what the fuck, and just runs away and scared. Because he kept trying to stand in front, in between like five Lazio players. Never open, never tried to move. He was walking around half the time, losing the ball constantly. And oh shit, we fell and hit ourselves. And now he runs away. I'm sorry about that, but yeah, there is a very uncalm baby here. And he had like four turnovers in the first, 5 minutes of the game or something. Did absolutely nothing to backtrack every time he lost the ball going forward. He didn't sprint back. He didn't go anywhere. Like, there was a period of time when Roma established control in the second half. And there was... if you just watch Roma play instead of watching Cristante, which is very hard because I was just obsessed with trying to find any single thing he did good, and instead he just kept playing his worst. There was a period where, like, of 10 minutes where it doesn't matter where Roma have the ball, where has the ball in defense or attack, there was no midfield. The midfield just was not present. And I get Paredes because his job is to just send the balls forward. What exactly does Cristante do? Why is he invisible the whole time? He's just standing between lots of players. Like, I'm sorry, but is that a tactical decision from De Rossi? Just go stand between Lazio players? And yeah, I'm done. I'm just done. I don't want to watch this anymore. It's been 7 fucking years. I'm done. I don't want to watch Brian Cristante play football anymore. And I don't care. I'm not a Romanista. If people want to say I'm not a Roma fan, I don't care. I don't want to watch this anymore. I can't do this every single week, expecting different things, expecting things to get better, when nobody wants to address one same problem we've been having. Brian Cristante has been given keys of this team, the same thing that Jordan Veretout had, the same thing that Rajan Angolan had, the same thing that before him Daniele De Rossi had, and before him was... I forgot who played that role. Strootman before his ACL tears. I'm sorry, but you're not doing anything for this club and you're causing issues, and I don't want to watch it anymore. Like, it's same story every single time. It's gotten to the point of, okay, we no longer have Jose Mourinho. Things can be better and different, and they're not, because we just refuse to address one same problem. Like, we don't have a midfield presence. When you watch other teams play against us, they have midfielders doing everything, running around, moving forward. I've seen, like, we've all seen Cristante in this derby go on a 3-versus-3 break, and he sends the ball back to center pitch and stops the counter. Like, it's insane. It is absolutely insane how useless he is and how detrimental to the team he actually is. Zeki Celik is almost at that level because he does the same fucking things. He had one chance to do anything, and he wasted it. Rest of the game, he just spent being useless. He did absolutely nothing. He made no runs. He was in awkward positions in attack because Cristante refused pushing forward, and he took the right wing spot. And that yielded in nothing except confusion. I'm assuming that was instructions from De Rossi to flood the attack and help Lukaku, but whatever. And I'm sorry, but everybody's saying Lukaku was useless and Lukaku did nothing. Yeah, don't you remember the Dzeko years where we had Dzeko isolated up front and we're like, oh, Dzeko's not doing anything. What exactly is he supposed to do when nobody gets him the ball? And even when he gets the ball, it's kind of like, okay, and now what? It's Dzeko versus 5 players. Like, Lukaku versus 1 player is, you know, difficult on pro level. Like, he gets the upper hand, but it's still not an easy goal every single time. He made fun of defenses in the Premier League in his, you know, prime days when he had like 7 players supporting him and he was like, haha, watch this. And, you know, he makes use of that. This is just like, hey, Lukaku, catch the ball. Oh, shit, we failed the pass. So, yes, Milos Wheeler having 13 misplaced long balls does not surprise me at all because he had nobody to pass to. So, yeah.
Did you get any idea of a positive in the derby?
Well, the opposite, actually, because here's the thing. I used to believe that, I'm not sure if I said it on the podcast as well, that we can get past Milan because I'm pretty sure that everyone was like, oh shit, Milan, we lost. But I don't know. I didn't feel like the Milan thing, the Milan pair, match was a loss instantly because I'm not very impressed by them. And we were kind of surging under De Rossi, but we've had a really poor run of results and games played lately. And I don't know, last, what, 3 or 4 games? I'm not going to be like 100% sure, but the last 3 or 4 games, we've kind of looked absolute dog shit. And De Rossi is insisting on doing the same things that Mourinho was doing. And instead, he's also changing things up a lot, quite radically, not giving the team any continuation. So, I don't know. I've kind of changed my stance in that. I don't think that we can get past Milan anymore if this continues. If Cristante plays and not Renato Sanchez or Aouar, and if we don't have a different type of a setup, maybe like a 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2 or something should, you know, work. But, and I understand it's an archaic setup, but this, what we're doing right now, it doesn't fucking work.
So, in the last, if you're going to talk about a shaky run of results, I would say it would start with Fiorentina. That was a 2-2 draw. So that shaky run of results were 2-2-0. So we drew against Fiorentina, won against Sassuolo, drew Lecce and beat Lazio. So
we lost to Europa League game.
Brighton.
Which, but, again, was irrelevant, but we didn't really play that well.
So, per one of the websites I use, Transfermarkt, it says that De Rossi's pretty much preferred formation is a 4-3-3 attacking, and yeah, he's used that. Let me see, he used that against Verona, Cagliari, against Inter, Monza, Sassuolo, and Lecce. So he tried a 3-5-2 flat against Lazio, and it was one Mancini header away from not working. So
yeah, I mean, we did switch to 3-5-2 in the end, or 5-3-2, whatever. It's fullbacks, just doesn't matter. They're useless defenders and they're useless in attack, so who cares. They switched to that in the Lazio derby as well, and yeah, Lazio had absolutely no idea how to deal with that, which, you know, is a bit of a positive. But other than that, I don't know. I don't think, like, can you imagine our right side of our midfield is going to be facing against left side of Milan's team, which is Teo Hernandez and Rafael Leao. Like, can you imagine Zeki Celik trying to deal with Leao? Like, no, I'm sorry, but no, that's horror. Can you imagine Teo Hernandez playing against Cristante? Like, that's just, you know, that's morning sausage. It's not even barbecue chicken. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Horrible, horrible, horrible from Cristante. He's been he's been bad for 7 years, but last 3 games he's been extremely, extremely dog shit. It's just no care about anything, no moving, atrocious passing, no vision, no positioning. nothing. He's just been adept. He's literally been 12th player for the opposing team. It's just horrendous. Horrendous. It's playing with a man down, basically. And again, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Fuck Brian Cristante. And anybody who believes in him after 7 years of watching mediocrity, just go watch any other team and tell me if you can pick out one player who does the same things he does. So, yeah, I don't know. Positives from the derby. Tammy Abraham came back. Smalling came back. We played... what was it? What was the legendary Manchester United attacking duo from the 90s or 80s? It was Dwight York and George... No, it wasn't George Best. Now I'm confused.
I don't know.
Man United had this legendary attack of two black players. I wanted to say African, but they're not African. They're born in England and English names. I think it was Dwight Turek and George Best, but I could be wrong on this. And they were awesome, like one of the best duos to ever play an attack. And I am really looking forward to seeing Tammy Abraham and Lukaku playing together, because Tammy Abraham is a perfect second striker. He's, well, used to be very agile, very quick, very fast, very good with the ball. And he tries to deliver the ball to somebody else. He did the whole thing of like overlapping with Dybala for a while before getting injured, where like he would go to the side to cross the ball in to Dybala, who was in front of the goal. And for some reason, the baby is just falling asleep and it's way too early for that. Not good for us. Second nap at 7 p.m. is never a good thing. Anyway, Smalling came back, slotted in between Llorente and Mancini, I think. More positives. Llorente did a really good job. Mancini was solid. No red card. Didn't. I don't know if this is a growth thing or if Jose got to him or if he's just, you know, calm down. I'm not sure what happened to Mancini, but he took his anger and frustrations and shithousery from the pitch to off the pitch. So like he doesn't get red cards on the pitch anymore, but he does even worse things when he goes to celebrate goals and shit. So yeah. Svilar has been fantastic. I don't know if he's there was a chance that Lazio had that Roma kind of cleared easily, where Svilar almost ran out to save it, but then he gave up because there was a Roma defender there and he had faith in him. It just goes to show that Svilar is actually in full control of the box. Like, amazing, amazing goalkeeper. Absolutely love him. We keep saying that, and I don't know, I just keep getting delighted by him every single day. But yeah, I don't know, man. Aside from that, Paredes, good defender, a good midfielder, like to keep him going forward. That's pretty much it.
I saw he had a shot very early on in the game that barely missed by going over. So
yeah, I missed the first 10 minutes of the game because I kept trying to find a stream that worked because you were offline. Where were you?
I was having one of the... how do you put this? The best of the worst experiences of my life.
Oh. All right, let's get to that later. Tell me your let's close the Roma game thing. What were your positive takeaways? Do you disagree with me on De Rossi and what was the things that you liked from the game, or positives or criticism? Give us your opinions, Char, because from now on that's the only thing that matters, because I won't be watching games.
Oh,
because you just know that Cristante is going to be starting every single game and playing full 95 minutes.
Well, I guess that's the end of the podcast then.
Nah, I'm just going to do a Mangoes and just not watch the games and still commentate.
Oh, okay. Well, since I was offline and having the best of the worst experiences of my life, I wasn't able to watch the Derby. I talked to somebody who did watch the Derby, other than you, and they said it was pretty solid, had a few chances, and the ones that we did had high quality. So it's not like we weren't... I wouldn't say that Roma dominated, but our attack looked way more competent than Lazio's. So that's probably positive. I feel that I'm kind of on board with De Rossi a little bit. I don't know if other teams have figured him out or what, but our Roma's attack has gone down.
But it's hard to figure him out when, like, he keeps changing. He doesn't know what he wants, and he doesn't know what he's going to do every single game. I don't know. I don't think it's easy to figure him out. But yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know if it's that other teams have figured him out or what's going on, but he. In that run of form that you were talking about, the last time we put up more than one goal was Fiorentina, the draw of Fiorentina on March 10th. After that, it's been 1-0, 0-0, and 1-0. So the attacking football, I don't know if just the chances aren't there. Like we said last week when the episode finally comes out, Lecce had, I think it was 21 shots, and about half of them were on target. Something was going on in the defense. The attack just couldn't really get going. So in the Lazio game, we had Roma had 15 shots, three of them were on target. Lazio had 11 and 1. So there wasn't any. We had two big chances. We missed one. We hit the woodwork one time. So I don't know. It seems like a far cry from the previous attacks that we've had, where we had like 8 big chances and missed 3 or something. So
you mean under De Rossi?
Yeah, under De Rossi. Yeah. So in some of his earlier managed games, they felt we were way more comfortable in the driver's seat. So I don't know if he's trying to come find his tactical identity. I don't know if the team has decided to relax a little bit more. I don't know. So
it's a bit of novelty wearing off, I think. But you have to factor in that Lukaku is not staying here next summer, and an unmotivated Lukaku is not a good football player, especially if he's actually going to Saudi Arabia and if his manager just told him, hey, nobody's offering anything, so you're going to Saudi Arabia next summer. And he's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, maybe you got to factor in that as well, but yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you again.
Well, yeah, an uninspired Lukaku is probably a detriment on the pitch. He, like I said earlier, he was one of the worst rated players. I don't know, since I didn't watch, I don't know if he was getting any service. That seems to be a problem recently, is he just doesn't get any service. So I saw that he committed a very, very tactical foul. So
yeah. He figured out that the referee's not gonna give a red card to anybody, and he was like, fuck this. Sprint into a two-handed body slam.
Yeah, getting body slammed by Lukaku is probably the same equivalent as base jumping off of a satellite and entering Earth's reorbit.
It's one of those fouls that you get up and you actually want to confront Lukaku or the player who did it, when in reality, if there was ever a foul where you should roll around the pitch for 15 minutes, that like I forgot who he fouled, but he's gonna be feeling it for the next couple of days. Yeah, Wait, you didn't watch the game? Like, you didn't watch the play? Ah, shit.
No.
Well, you've missed the Cristante Masterclass.
Yeah. Like I said, I was busy traveling 10 hours round trip to plus 3 hours there for the best of the worst experience.
What was this best of the worst experience? Because I got an experience of watching Roma beat Lazio, and then I, in the same time, started hating watching Roma. So kind of the same thing, you know?
I didn't kind
of
hate...
The best of the worst experience.
I didn't hate what I was watching. I just hated the... I hated the atmosphere around the experience. So anyway, my experience was I went down to Smithfield, Rhode Island, home of Rhode Island FC, a USL championship club that was founded this year, to watch the Rhode Island FC take on the Charleston Battery, who we have had a guest on who has connections with that club. So I went down to go see our OG Ben. So, yeah. So, anyway,
the guy who keeps making fun of me in our Roma Discord server.
Well, there's nothing else to do. So, whenever we pick on anybody else, they leave.
Yeah.
So, either take the hint or continue with it. So, so I went down. I got out of work and hung out with my dad and my nephew for a couple hours. And I ended up having only 3 hours of sleep the entire day, which I had from about midnight to 3:30 in the morning. And then after that, I was up the whole day and all the way back. I ended up having a 800-mile round trip. I don't know what that is in the rest of the world units. So I get down there and I check the weather forecast. It's saying it's supposed to rain. I was wearing a track jacket and track pants with a t-shirt. And then I had a jersey on over with my Charleston scarf. And so I get there and they're like, go park down here. So I go park and they said, follow all the people who will direct you to parking. And I went till I could see no more people and parked. And then all of a sudden this person goes up, oh, you can't park here. I'm like, all right. I was told to go till I can't see anybody. They're like, nope, go keep parking. So I go park. Finally, I get out and see there's a bunch of food trucks. So I'm pretty hungry because I haven't ate all day, and I go try to get to the food truck, and this guy comes up to me. Hey, do you have a media pass? I said, no. He says, do you have a ticket? I said, yes. He said, well, we're not open yet. And I asked, what time do you open? It's 5:30. He said, oh, we open at 6. I'm like, all right. So I go back to my car, hang out till 6 and get in line. And they said the gates open at 6. I didn't get through the gate till 6:20. They were having issues with ticketing. Yeah. And so anyway, I get in. There's a massive line for all the food trucks now. So I decide I'd rather just go sit down. And no sooner do I sit down than the rain starts. And I looked at my phone. It said it was 39 degrees Fahrenheit with a real feel of 32. So for our metric users, it was 3 degrees Celsius with a feel of 0. And it's raining, and not a light rain either. It's somebody just flipped a switch and just doused you with a thing of water. And the rain switched to a mixture of rain and snow, just straight up sleet, and then to snow for a little bit, and then it turned off. And it was like that through the entire match. I was shivering and shaking. And it was halftime. I stood up, tried to walk around, tried to go find some heat of some kind. By the end of the match, my hands were blue. Couldn't really feel them. Couldn't feel my legs. Ended up like limping out of the stadium to try and find my car. The match ended up as a 0-0 draw. It was pretty fun. I hung around a little bit after the game was over, and talked with the players and the coach a little bit, and then
you sent me a picture of you you're shaking a hand or something with a player. Do they like wreck you? They didn't know you, or like what's going on? Or was Ben? Can you take a pic? Can you? I want to take a picture of you like greeting that dude. It's gonna good for social media, bro.
So they like I'm not like on a first name basis with anybody. It was actually, I think the coach recognized me because he came up and talked to me before the game.
Right.
So that was actually kind of fun because the last time I talked with him, we had a conversation about how I wanted to go do like youth coaching or something. So he was like, thanks for coming out. Always a pleasure. And I was like, yeah, it's always a pleasure coming out, watching you guys play. But yeah, no, I was standing there behind their bench. After the game, I was wearing a Charleston jersey and I had a Charleston scarf and I was, you know, holding it out as they were coming back. So they came. There was about usually like 12 to 15 people who are supporting Charleston at the games that I've been to for the away fans. So you want to kind of take the time out to go talk to the 12 or 15 people who came out to watch you play after you've traveled roughly 1,000 miles to come play. So, you know, it's good. But yeah. And then having no sleep and then having to finish the return leg of a 400-mile one way, And coming back, I had the heat on full blast in my car. I had to stop for gas twice. And every time I got out of the car, it said that the temperature was about 35 degrees. And I was just shivering and shaking. I couldn't get the heat up enough. And then driving, I ended up like falling asleep at the wheel several times. I had to go find some convenience store that was open and try and find something to keep me awake the rest of the way. I ended up grabbing a pack of gum and just chewing gum for 300 miles to try and just keep me stimulated, and finally got into back to my apartment and ended up falling asleep in my car. So top cool. 10, it was the worst experience. Weather-wise, I was severely underdressed for the weather. Half the fans there pretty much left at halftime because the weather just kept raining, and it wasn't a nice mist or something like that. It just turned into torrential downpour. Like I wear glasses. I couldn't see out of my glasses whenever it rained. It was that hard. So
did it affect the quality of the match greatly, or was it like about the same? Like, do the players get used to this type of weather? Or,
well, the ball slogged down a little bit. The overall deciding factor to the match was the referee. While I was supporting Charleston, the referee was pretty biased against Rhode Island. And he just kept stopping play for random fouls. Charleston would go on a break and he'd whistle him back because one of the players went down with injury. So he would, you know, continue. He would just stop play and have medical staff come out. The fouls, the players wouldn't stop chirping with each other or the referee. Rhode Island player had the ball, threw it away, got carded for time wasting, and then he committed a foul, got a red card. And So talking to Ben about the scouting report, Rhode Island had the previous year's Golden Boot winner in the USL. So their attack was kind of dangerous. And both teams, since Rhode Island was very new, they had they hadn't won a game, but they had two losses and two draws. And I think it was Charleston had like one win and the rest one or two wins and the rest were draws. But the referee ended up making it kind of just a miserable affair. It kind of felt not really like a derby atmosphere, but it's one of those games where it's just like you just want it to be over because everything just sucks. So and then there was like 2 minutes of added time in the half, and then it was 5 minutes of added time, which ended up being more like 10. So it's just like, end it, please just end it. It's miserable, and everybody who's here just wants to go home. So and the players probably had it, the players probably had a better time of it. While the elements absolutely sucked, they're still running around staying warm. The people sitting there on the bench in the stands obviously weren't having a good time of it. Rhode Island's whole bench just ended up doing drills on the side, try to stay warm. So yeah, it was probably the worst experience weather-wise. When I went to the Netherlands in October, I took in a herenveen match. That one was probably, it wasn't the worst for me. My dad kind of complained because he didn't have any gloves or anything like that, so we had to go inside and warm up a little bit. But after this one probably would have taken the cake for him too by a considerable margin, because you just add in just a nasty rain and there was no covered stands or anything, so you're just outside getting absolutely soaked.
Right.
So yeah, that was the best of the worst experiences.
I don't know. Sounds like it was actually just an experience, journey, an adventure.
Oh yeah, I'll talk about it. It's one of those make or break things. So while I absolutely hated every minute of the weather, I enjoyed supporting Charleston. So it's one of those that just more solidifies you as a fan. So
it's like a sequence. You can always like pull it. I've been to games you can't imagine to support this team.
But you do it on a rainy, windy night in Rhode Island.
The Stoke of US, I hope. So actually I've heard better stuff from Rhode Island. So cool. What was your connection with Charleston again? Like, why is that your favorite team?
Because Ben's there, duh.
Oh, okay.
I think they're also the oldest team in the USL. They were founded in 1993.
What about the MLS?
I think the MLS kicked off in 96. So USL's been around. I forget what else. I think there was another. There obviously was, because Pele played for the New York Cosmos, but I forget what they were a part of. So
did you see how they used to have the penalty shootouts in the 90s?
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty interesting.
it's horrible, but at the same time, I would introduce it into like some games at least. It seems interesting. I don't know. I would like to see it. Can you imagine like playing against Ronaldinho or something, who would just like dribble the ball through the air, just like juggle it or something? That'd be fun. But yeah, that sounds cool. Do we have anything else Roma related, or can I go for a small story?
Roma play Udinese on Sunday, April 14th.
We play Milan on Thursday.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about the Europa League. I have low expectations.
So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that Roma addresses the right-back issue in the upcoming transfer market. It's rather underwhelming. And I really hope that Thiago Motta doesn't go to Juventus and all teams. So, that's all for me. I have nothing else to add. I'm just very, very sad and depressed with many things going on, including Daniele De Rossi insisting on Brian Cristante being the most irreplaceable player of all time, despite him being utter fucking dog shit. But apparently we cannot comprehend its greatness. So that's all for me. You got anything to add?
No.
Sign us out.
All right. Bye.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Bye.
Band supposed to with the desperation of a soldier. My lyrics hold ya, feel my heartbeat even colder. Fighting for my rights in dark alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack your red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain, so feel me rain.
Black rain, Citizen Kane.
Talking black rain, black rain, black rain. Peace to the in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain. Elements of mind, so feel the rain from behind, black rain, black rain. Peace to the in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain.